I invite you to please turn over to the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke chapter 11. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 4. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Today I'd like to speak to you about prayer. And I realize that the text before us is a very familiar one. You may even have it memorized. But I would like to approach the matter of prayer from a different perspective, if I may. Instead of hitting it head on, I would like for us to approach it from the side, flanking it either on the right side or the left, and then think about prayer. Have you considered that prayer is more than just a, if I may say it this way, than a Christmas list of our wants? It is more than climbing up on the lap of someone and telling what you desire. Prayer is actually having a time of fellowship between you and between the one whose lap you're in. It is more than communication. It is a communion. And that is what I would like for us to think about today as we approach the subject of prayer. So the title of the message is Prayer, Communion with God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. Our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that you would bless them and heal the sick and, Lord, just meet the needs. But we've come together today in your name to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you bless your word to our hearts as we look into it. And help us to recognize, O God, that as we approach your throne and we communicate with you, that we also should commune with you. And so help us to understand that through the message today. We do pray if there's any here that is lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to you and grant life that they might be saved. We thank you again for this opportunity. We love you, we honor you, we praise you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to think about prayer and communion with God, and the first thing I want to deal with is this matter of communion and express what I am intending behind the use of that term in relationship to prayer. Communion, as defined by Webster, is an act or an instance of sharing. Now, the word, according to Webster, is in the Latin, it means a mutual participation. So it's more than just saying something, isn't it? And so it's an act of sharing. Now, Webster also states that to share is to partake of or to experience or to enjoy with others. And he listed a couple synonyms to participate or to partake. And so we want to think about prayer as a communion with God. This is an opportunity to have a mutual participation, to partake and to share. Now, normally when we think about prayer, there are three aspects of which we might concern ourselves with, and it's a matter of praise unto God and also in asking things of the Lord, but then also I would submit it would be a sharing of the heart. Now, some would also would consider the interceding in behalf of others as another category, but I'm only listing these three and definition of the matter of communion with God. So I'd like for us to concern ourselves with this. We will come back to Luke chapter 11. But turn, if you would, please, to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. When we think about prayer, I want to remind you that prayer ought to be a matter of praise. We ought to give praise to God in our prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is an example of which we read in this text. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so you'll hear me say on occasion that when we're praying, that not only should we ask God, we ought to thank Him and to give Him the honor and the glory and give Him praise even in the midst of our prayers. And so we read in this passage here that we ought to give thanks. When you approach God in your prayer, is it just a matter of, Lord, would you do this? Would you do that? Would you do this? Would you do that? And God this, God this, God that. Is that all you do in prayer? Or do you take time to say, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We ought to give God thanks. But you know, in this matter of praise, it's also not only the matter of giving thanks, but as I mentioned about thanking Him for who He is, we can declare His attributes and we can declare His works. And so you can read through the Scriptures many instances of prayer and praise when they're saying, God, You're the sovereign God, You're long-suffering and You're slow to anger and You're patient and You're kind and You're generous. God is a great, gracious God, isn't He? We ought to recognize that. So when we go to the Lord in prayer and we have our list go through our prayer list, as we say, and we're asking God for things, we always need to make sure that we stop and say, thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done. And so there are many examples that we could offer. There's just no need to multiply these examples. But when you offer up praise to God in the midst of your prayer, I believe that you're having communion with the Lord. You're participating and sharing with Him, because that gives glory to His name. Now the second aspect, and turn if you would to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Many references could have been offered for this example, but also in our prayers is indeed the matter of asking. And that's what we've always been taught to do, and the Bible does teach us, you have not because you ask not. But it's okay to ask, isn't it? And James also qualifies that a little bit further. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So you need to recognize your motive behind what you're asking. But we need to be giving God praise in our prayers, and we also need to be asking God. And this is the most common, isn't it? So I've invited you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, very familiar passage, verse 6, where Paul taught the Philippian church and said, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, but notice, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We need to, when we go to the Lord, recognize we can ask of Him. But there are three things that I think underlie this matter of asking that lend itself to this matter of communion. The first thing is this. I believe that if we're going to be asking God, there's going to be then a necessary basis or foundation for asking. If you think that I can't go to God because He's too busy, what happened to the foundation? Is God too busy to hear your prayer? Absolutely not. Does God have too much on His plate? No, He doesn't. Can you go to God? Well, I don't have access to God. Can you go to God? You can. My children could ask of us as parents because we were available to them. There was a foundation. They were our children. And even as adults, they can still ask of us, can't they? I submit unto you, if we're going to go to the God, we need to have that foundation, that basis, that we know that we can go to Him and we can ask of Him. The second thing that comes from this is that there is an openness or a freedom in asking. You know, there are some people that they know that they can ask, but they are afraid to. That happens many times in the workplace. An employee needs something, needs help, or needs a tool or something, but they're afraid to ask the supervisor, afraid to ask the manager. They know that the foundation is there, that the relationship is there, but they're afraid to respond to that. You know, there are some people that are afraid to ask God. Well, they know that they're children of God. They know that they're saved, but they just don't feel like they have the liberty to go before God and ask. I want you to know that Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and offer up our prayers and find help in a time of need. And it is okay to ask. We're told to ask. There should be an openness and a freedom. And I like that freedom. If you don't have that freedom, then that kind of puts a strain on the relationship, doesn't it? Hurts the communion. And so I submit in our asking, we have that foundation for asking, but we also have the openness in asking. But the third item that comes out from this, in my perspective, is that there is a reliance upon the one that is being asked. If my children should come to me and ask something, they ask because they believe that we can provide. If they don't think that we can provide, they're likely not to ask. Is that why you don't go to the Lord in prayers? Because you just don't think He can make that come true? He can't fulfill your need? He can't supply what is necessary? He can't assist you? And so you're just afraid to go? I submit unto you, my friend, that God is a sovereign God. He sits upon His throne. And the Bible tells us that every good thing, every good gift comes from Him. And you can rely upon God. Now again, I'm not submitting unto you that He's a great big Santa Claus up there and you're just going to present your wish list and you're going to get everything you want because you ask. No, we understand prayer is a different item than that. But ask. Go before the Lord. Recognize your relationship with Him and the freedom you have that you can come boldly before Him and you can rely upon the Lord. I'm so glad for that. And so if I have these three elements, and even in my asking, there's a communion, isn't there? I submit unto you then, if you would go back to Matthew chapter 11, then we'll go back to our passage. Go to Matthew chapter 11. I mentioned before that of these three items, that the third one, I saw said that prayer involves a matter of praise, it's a matter of asking, but also I view it as a matter of sharing. In Matthew chapter 11, we see words from the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 28 through verse 30. And this gives us the intent is more than just a rote thing. It's more than just, here's the list, do what I want. I see Matthew 11, 28 through 30, a participation in really a sharing of your heart. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sometimes we're afraid to go to the Lord because we're afraid to share and open up our heart. Now, that happens sometimes among individuals, people among people, because say it's a relationship between a boy and a girl or a man and his wife, sometimes you're afraid to open up your heart. People are afraid to express their feelings, to express their viewpoint. And sometimes, sad as it is, a Christian will get to the place where, well, I know God is my God and He loves me and I know that I can go to Him in prayer, but I'm just a little bit hesitant to share with Him. Now, I don't know why you would feel that, but some Christians get to that place. I submit unto you, my friend, that you can share your heart with God. That God has broad shoulders, and there's not anything that's going to surprise Him. There's not anything that's going to weigh Him down. It's kind of like many, many years ago that the neighbor, that lady from across the street would talk about when my mother was young. She would go to this neighbor's lady's house, and she was actually an aunt of ours, but she would go to this the house and just tell about all of her problems and troubles as a teenager, and then apologize for it. And my neighbor lady, the aunt, would say, she's not an aunt, she was just a neighbor lady. My neighbor, the aunt, lived across the street. I hate getting old. Can't remember anything. But what happened was, she'd say, honey, these are your problems, not mine. And so, you know what? You can go to God and you can tell Him anything. I'm absolutely convinced of that. You can give your feelings, your emotions, your hurts, your joys. If you're upset, tell Him. If you're hurt, tell Him. If you're angry with God, which you ought not be angry with God, but if you're angry with God, you know what I think you ought to do? I think you ought to go to God and tell Him. My Father in heaven, I want you to know that I'm angry at you, and I know it's not a right attitude, but I'm angry. And I need you to work this out of my life, and I need to get rid of this, but I'm angry. Is it okay to tell God? I think so. I think you should. You need to deal with that, and you can go to God and express your feelings with Him. You can express your viewpoint, your opinion, your thoughts. Tell God how you feel. I'm not saying that you're right in your position. I'm just saying that you can tell Him. And you should tell Him. You know why? Because prayer is a communion. It's a sharing of your heart. But I also see this matter of sharing is it's a demonstration of trust, a confiding. There are things that you will not tell other people because you can't trust them. You can't depend upon them. You can't confide in them. But there are others that you can. And so you can tell them anything, can't you? Can you tell God anything? Absolutely. Absolutely. God will keep it in confidence. And so I don't know your heart today. I don't know what's bothering you. I don't know what's in your heart and in your mind, and the good things, the bad things, the ups and the downs, the positives or the negatives. I don't know all that, but God does, and He wants you to tell Him. And I encourage you to share your heart. Why? Because there is an openness. And if there's a foundation there, there is that openness, and you ought to share your heart to God. Tell Him your heart. We all need to talk to someone, don't we? I encourage you, my dear Christian friend, tell God your heart. You say, well, it's not a very good thing that I'm thinking about. Tell Him. Share it. Prayer is a communion with God. Now, go back to our text, Luke chapter 11. With this in mind, again, I wanted to flank the matter of prayer and deal with these areas of praise and asking and sharing. Let's plug that in into our passage into Luke chapter 11. And before we do, however, I want to remind you that when we think about prayer and these things that I've given to you, that there are some things that prayer is not. Prayer is not a selfish way to achieve your selfish desires. It should not be about me. It should not be about you. When I go to God, I should be talking to the Lord. God, what do you want? It shouldn't all be about me, right? And you can ask, and you can tell, and you can share. But if your praying is all about me, we've got a problem in our praying. We're not communing with God like we ought to. Prayer is not a means to make God do what you want. And I'm amazed at how many people believe that God is just there to bow down to our every whim. And what a tragic mistake that is, my friend. God is not there just to give and give whatever we desire. In fact, we know the Bible teaches otherwise. And prayer is not an attempt to be heard for self-exaltation. When I said give your opinion and give your viewpoint and give your emotions and share with God, you can do that. But it isn't all about, okay, I just want to have a place to vent and I'm just going to tell you. And you need to just hear what I have to say and I'm going to straighten you out. It's not that at all. You need to share with Him and tell Him because you can commune with Him. Prayer is a communion with God. Let me ask you this. What if you never spoke to other members of the church? What kind of communion would you have one with another? What if you didn't say hi when we come in? What if you didn't talk to each other? What if we didn't share prayer requests? What if we didn't say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm miserable. I feel terrible today. What if we didn't do any of that? And we would have no communion, would we? Do we need communion? We do. We need that fellowship, don't we? What if you never spoke to your spouse? You can't have that fellowship. You can't have that communion if you're not interacting. I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, that we ought to commune with God. We need to speak to Him on a regular basis. We just, really, if you could have the attitude of prayer where it's just a constant thing, that's really the best. But if not, then set aside times to pray. Whether it be in morning or noon or night or all three or additional times, take time to speak to the Lord. Commune with God. So we look into this passage and we have, again, in this text, it is it's an answer to the question of one of the disciples that said, will you teach us to pray? And so you can read that, glance at verse 1, you'll see that that is the case. And so Jesus taught them how to pray. Now, He gives a similar form as expressed over on the Sermon on the Mount over in Matthew chapter 6. And it depends which version that you might have memorized. But often, you have one of these memorized. And it's an answer. This is a model prayer. You want to pray? This is a good way to approach it. Don't you find communion in this? I believe that we do. And let me express this to you. First of all, when we enter into verse 2, we see that there's a recognition of whom you're dealing with. Who is it that you're talking to? He said unto them, when you pray, this is how you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is there a foundation here for a relationship? Is there a basis for a relationship? You come before God and you say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We need to recognize who we're talking to. Very succinctly, we're not talking to the man upstairs. I find that disrespectful, in my opinion. I don't view God as an old man, gray-haired, and just kind of waiting for us to cry out to Him. I see the sovereign God of the universe. But He is my God, and He is my Father. And I can go to God, and I just like my children can come to me, and my children can come to Laura, then there's nothing wrong with that. Children ought to go to their parents. I can go to my Heavenly Father and seek His face. But I recognize that He is my Heavenly Father. And that He is hallowed. God is holy, is He not? So we have to have that foundation, that understanding that when I pray, I'm talking to the God of the universe here. And you know, what a privilege it is that mere creatures like us have the opportunity to come before God and call Him our Father and to have communion with Him. I submit unto you, and go back if you would, just as a quick reference to Matthew chapter 7, that along this lines, recognizing who we're dealing, to whom we're dealing with, is that not only is there that basis and foundation, but there's that openness that we mentioned. The freedom that we can come before God. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught them in verse 7, and I like this lesson on prayer. It's good to be reminded of it. Matthew 7:7 says, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you of whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Do we have the freedom to go before God, the sovereign God of the universe, our Father in heaven who is hallowed, who is holy, and we can bring our petitions before Him? Yes, we do. What an openness. What liberty. And that's part of communion, isn't it? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But again, I must emphasize before we pass on that recognition of your position. Our Father. Is God your heavenly Father? If you're not saved, you can't make that claim. But if you're saved, then you can recognize that God in heaven is your heavenly Father. He taught His disciples to pray, Our Father. Our Father. And so what a privilege it is as a son to go to the Father. What a privilege it is to recognize that as a son, I am ought to be in submission to the Father. I ask you, is there a reliance upon God of whom we are asking? Our Father. What a privilege. Should there be a communion between a father and a son? Absolutely. We come before God and we're taught to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice verse 2. He says, Thy will be done. When we seek God in prayer, we ought to desire for God's will to be accomplished. Now, I already made a comment about that earlier, that it's just not us to get our own selfish desires fulfilled. Give me this, give me that, and I want this. No, my friend, if you know the Scripture, and we'll look at a verse of this down at the end, we know that the Bible teaches us that all of our prayers ought to be focused around God's will, not ours. God, what is honoring to You? What is pleasing to You? Not what I want. It's okay to ask what you want, but you want your wants to be encompassed in what He wants. And so, if you say, Lord, please, take care of this financial situation in my family so that I can serve You well and honor You with my life and take care of my family and meet the needs of my family, that's different than just saying I want it because I want the money. I talked to somebody the other day in the workplace. 46 people got together to buy a lottery ticket so they could win that $756 million that they drew on Wednesday night. And, you know, none of them won. They said, well, we're sorry we didn't ask you to partake. I said, I wouldn't have partaken of it anyway. I got better things to do with my money and give it to somebody else. All that was just gimme. Did any of those people, and some of them I believe are Christians, did any of them ever stop to say, God, do you want me to have 14.3 million or whatever divided out to be? You see, if you're going to go to God like that, you better be saying, God, what's your will first? I worked with a lady years and years ago, way back in 1985. You didn't know I was that old. My wife says, quit saying that because I do look that old. But I went to work in this place, and I put in an application, and this lady was sweeping office. And she says, I'm a millionaire. And I said, you are? She said, yeah, I'm a millionaire. And I said, what are you doing sweeping floors? And she said, well, I'm not a millionaire yet, but I will be because I've won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. I said, you've won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. She said, no, not yet, but I believe that God's going to let me win. I worked there 4 years, and she swept floors all 4 years. She never did win the Publisher's Clearinghouse. And she's probably still sweeping floors. If you go to God with that kind of an attitude, it's all about you, do you expect to really expect to receive? It shouldn't be about me, it should be about God, shouldn't it? The text says, thy will be done. That's why what we do, because we often don't know how to pray. And Romans teaches us that over in Romans chapter 8. But we'll say, Lord, not our will, but yours be done. We'll say, do things according to your will. God, if it's your will, please do this, or we'll do this or that. And that's what I submit unto you. You commune with God by recognizing who He is, your relationship with Him, and the fact that His will is ultimate. That's our priority, and we need to seek that. And I think that's a manner of praise when we recognize who He is and that His will takes precedence over ours. Look into verse 3. There is a mention of physical provision. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Give us this day our daily bread. Is there anything wrong with asking God for your food day by day? No, I think it's absolutely appropriate to do so. I think it's okay for you to ask God for good health and for provision and to protection of you and your family, all according to God's will. But I think that's good to ask that. Some people say, well, I don't ask anything that's selfish. Well, if it's selfish, that's one thing. But, I mean, there are personal things. If I get sick, I'm asking God to heal me. Because I don't want to be sick, and I can't do much when I'm sick. So I'm going to ask God to heal me. But if He chooses to heal me, He does. If He chooses not to heal me, that's His will. But it's okay to ask. Give us this day our daily bread. And so in asking, there's a sharing, is it not? There's a recognition. You're my God. You're able to provide all these things. And I need these things. Would you please provide? Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 4. There's a request for spiritual fellowship, I find, in the passage. That certainly involves itself with communion. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. The request for spiritual fellowship. When you're asking pardon of God, then you're sharing with Him and the fact that you have a sinful condition and you want to be made right with Him. The fellowship is broken between you and God if you have sin in your heart. So forgive us our sins. That's an act of communion, isn't it? If I offend my wife, if I go to her and say, Laura, I'm sorry, please forgive me for that, that's not just some words that's being said, that's a restoration of fellowship, and it's an act of communion, isn't it? And so when Jesus teaches us to forgive us our sins, then we are communing with God when we want to have that restoration in our relationship with Him. Verse 4, again, there's a desire for spiritual leadership. It says, and lead us not into temptation. Do we need God's protection? We ought to ask for His protection. That's also a sharing of our needs, isn't it? God, I am weak. I am but dust. I am ashes. You know that I'm weak in my heart. God, protect me. Shield about me. Hedge about me. Hedge about my family. Hedge about our church. We want God's spiritual leadership in our life. That's an act of communion, isn't it? I believe that it is. The last thing I submit unto you, we find in this passage, is the proper motive. And we back up to verse 2 for that, where it said, "Thy kingdom come." Thy kingdom come. If we approach God as a glorified Santa Claus with a wish list that just simply pleases ourselves, then it only involves our will and it doesn't involve God's will and it doesn't involve His kingdom. And so Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Over in Matthew chapter 6, it was expressed this way in the Matthew's record. It says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And I believe this relates to praise. And when we praise God, we commune with God. "God, Your will be done. Your kingdom come. It's all about You. It's not about me. I give You praise for who You are. And I offer up these requests that Your will would be accomplished so that I might be what You would have me to be. Your will be done. Your kingdom is to come." Turn, if you would, back to 1 John chapter 5. I've offered you this morning some thoughts about communion and the aspects of prayer in relationship to that communion, in the praise and the asking and the sharing. We've looked at these verses and tried to make that application to recognize that our prayer is just not a wish list, but it is an act of communion with God. So I want to offer you three notes about prayer before I arrive at my conclusion. The first note is this, and that is that God knows what you need before you ask of Him. That's recorded in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 8. We're not reading that text. But God knows what you need. When you go to God in prayer, you're not informing Him of anything. He already knows, doesn't He? But yet He wants you to come. He wants you to ask. He wants you to pour out your heart. He wants you to praise. He wants you to share. God already knows all that. He knows every need that you have before you ever ask Him. Keep that in mind. You're not revealing anything to God that He doesn't already know. But yet He wants you to come. I believe God desires that communion with His people. I desire to hear the sound of my children's voice. I like it when they need help and they ask for help. I like that. And I'm just a pitiful human being. God in heaven desires for His children to come to Him and to lay out their heart before Him. He desires that. Secondly, don't babble on and repeat like God is hard of hearing. Now, you've got to be very careful about that. And we could have taken a lot of time in all these other verses in the matter of prayer. But we've got to make sure that we're just not repeating over and over and over, thinking that the more we talk, the more God will hear. Jesus warns against that. And so we don't want to babble on. And so what I like to do is I like to make a comparison to when we have a conversation with somebody else. If I have a conversation with somebody else, I don't repeat and repeat and repeat, do I? No, we don't do that. And when I pray to the Lord, I attempt to have a conversation with God. He's my Heavenly Father. I have openness. I can come before Him. And so I can just speak to Him. So I address Him. "You are my God. You are my Heavenly Father." And I don't have to repeat His name 400 times. I don't need to do that, do I? I can just trust Him and call upon Him. But then I've asked you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. The last note on prayer is that we need to ask according to His will. And that is the matter of seeking God's glory in our lives. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." All of our seeking before the Lord and when we're making requests of God ought to be qualified by God if it's Your will. Because really, truly, if it's not His will, I don't want it. You should not want it if it is not God's will. Yeah, but I could sure could use $13.4 million. Yeah, and he could give it to you and you could just ruin the rest of your life. It happens all the time. And then you fretted all your life because you didn't have any money. Now you fret because you have money. And everybody comes out of the woodwork wanting to borrow from you. You know, you can't trust anybody. And you think you suspect everybody's motives. If God wants to give me $13.4 million or whatever it is, He's going to have to give it to me. It's not going to be by me spending money for the Tennessee lottery. I guarantee you that by God's grace. Need to ask according to His will. And so I urge you, my friend, when you seek God and you have any requests whatsoever before God where you're asking Him, always qualify it. God, not my will, but yours be done. And if it be your will, please be pleased to do that. But if not, then give me the grace to trust you. And we just have to leave it in God's hands, don't we? A prayer is a communion with God. And so I submit to you in closing that you ought to seek to enhance your communion with God. Spend time with Him. Fellowship with God. Don't always go with an ask list. Maybe just spend time in prayer where you just say, God, I want to thank you. And just spend time thinking. Set aside time in your prayer to God where you just spend time thinking about who He is and praising Him for His goodness and His works and His attributes. That's a good thing. That's communion with God. But then I must ask, who is it that can pray? Well, anybody really can pray. But anyone who knows Him, young or old, can pray. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? That's the question, isn't it? Can you truly say, Our Father, which art in heaven? He might be your Creator, but is He your Heavenly Father in relationship? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have that basis? Do you have that foundation, which is absolutely necessary for life? You see, as a lost person, God is your Creator and God is very gracious to you, but you just don't have the opportunity that God's people have. The privilege and the honor of coming before our Heavenly Father and opening up our hearts and pouring it out before Him in praise and in sharing and in asking. Dear sinner, today you need Jesus Christ, and I point you to Jesus. He alone is the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life right where you are. Would you repent? Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Then and only then can you have that foundation to go before God and call Him our Father. And Jesus Christ, if I may say, is our brother. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Would you, if you're lost, recognize your need, be saved today, cry out to God for mercy. We who are saved, may we recognize the privilege to pray. And in doing so, the communion with Him. Let's stand. Will you have communion with God in your prayers, dear Christian? Let's stand. Father, again, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Forgive me for any frailty of speech or anything wherein I might have distracted from your word. And I pray that you take your word and just apply it. Especially for those that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ, we pray that you might save them today. And we pray for those of us who are saved, that we might recognize that you are our God, and we need to commune with you on a regular basis, day in and day out. Help us to seek that communion and make it real in our lives. Forgive us where we fall short. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Number 365, if you would, please. Number 365.